two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sky's so blue, the birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey, hey. It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny
it's
day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning, and the sun is coming up over the mountains here in downtown Salt Lake City. What a beautiful day. Welcome to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Anton Bettis with you this morning. The number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. This morning, we will need you to, instead of texting, because our text page is not working this morning, we will need you to send us a direct message on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page if you would like to ask a question in that way. But the best way to get in on the show this morning is to give us a call at 801-575-8255. We wanted to start the morning, Ton, with the plant of the week, which this morning is Brunera, and it is such a beautiful plant. I first saw Brunera on the Temple Square grounds.
It is a beautiful
I've never
plant.
Been very successful at growing this beautiful plant, but I don't have enough shade in my yard, I think.
Yeah, and that is the one trick to this plant, or the one key, is that it does need to have some afternoon shade. It is another name for it is Siberian forget-me-not.
Mm-hmm.
It's related to what we would normally consider forget-me-not, the perennial or biennial.
Right. Look, the flowers look almost identical.
They do. And so this is one that I've seen growing in a number of places. And if it doesn't thrive, I think it's usually because of a lack of shade in the afternoon.
So what is the key for people like me then to grow Brunera?
Put it on the, it works well as I've seen it grown along foundations because it can get up to about 2 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen people just row run it along the side of their home on the north or east side of the home. And it seems to do well there.
Okay.
Or if you have shade trees that will provide afternoon shade, that's the other area that it would really do fine.
Okay. What about soil? What do we need to worry about?
It tolerates Utah soil just fine, and as long as you're not super, like, salty or, you know, if you live down near Utah Lake or the Great Salt Lake and some of the lower portions of the valleys, or if you're relying on Utah Lake or Jordan River water for irrigation, you know, you may need to do some soil testing to make sure that your salt levels aren't too high, but otherwise, it seems to grow well in most Utah soils.
So I think I made the mistake when I first planted it to plant it too close to my pine trees. And I think the pine trees kind of just, I don't know, they seem to just suck the life out of things, you know, with their roots. I guess that's the best way I could put
it. Yeah, and the shade that you get under spruce and pines is so dense that there's actually very few weeds that will survive under there.
Ivy.
And so...
Ivy,
yeah. And so if you have situations like that and your grass won't survive under, there's a lot, sometimes the perennials that we would grow in shade may struggle too, at least if, you know, some of the shade perennials.
Sure. And so what about water then?
Average amount of water, once it's established in a shady area, being watered once or twice a week to a depth of 6 inches and That's about all it needs. Now, I should say that there are many varieties of Brunera out there. Mm-hmm. The one that's most common is called Jack Frost, and it has a really pretty variegated white and green leaf. There's many other variegated forms out there, some of them with lighter blue or darker blue flowers.
And I think that is the one that I've seen on Temple Square.
Is the Jack Frost. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But they might have the Heartleaf as well. I'm trying to remember now. It's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah, and either of them are pretty. I think that the Jack Frost, if you're trying to dress up a shaded area a little bit, because sometimes we struggle to get things to flower in those shaded areas, when the Brunera is done, the Jack Frost and other variegated varieties adds a lot of interest in there, because you can actually color up these shaded areas with leaf textures and leaf colors.
Now, those, they make that beautiful blue color flower, but the forget-me-nots only bloom once in the season. How about the Brunera?
Brunera will usually last anywhere from 3 to 4 weeks, and so it's mainly a spring flower.
So it's the same as the forget-me-not.
It is, yes, it is. And it's the main interest, and the reason I think the Jack Frost and the other variegated forms are so popular, is that you get the secondary benefit from the variegated soil.
Okay, I'm going to try it again this spring, this time planting it against the house on the east side instead of near the pine trees.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
Better luck. They really, truly are beautiful, and I think you're right about the variegated leaves, just adding a little bit different texture to your garden, which I like. I think it's very important to have different, you know, different varieties of things that catch your eye.
Yes, it is very important. And so anywhere that you would grow a hosta is the same place that you would grow Brunera. So that's kind of just, if you've grown hostas in the past or have them, that's the same environment. And so some common perennials that you would mix in on these shaded areas would include things like coral bells and maybe Japanese anemones for the fall flowers. You know, those are that's the environment that these Brunera will thrive in.
All right. Anything else we need to know about them?
They're widely available. They're not as commonly planted as many other things.
Yeah, why is that?
I think that they haven't been popular on the market for a long time. You know, I saw them when I started in the nursery industry in the late 90s, and they seem to be slowly gaining steam. But it's just one of those that I think that the straight green form is honestly harder to sell in nurseries unless they're in bloom. But if you have the variegated forms, then they're, because of the eye appeal, they are easier to move.
Well, and I love that variety in my garden. I just like that eye appeal. You're right. Something different to look at.
They really are. And I'd encourage folks to give them a try.
We have our callers already on the line early this morning. We're going to take a break and come back with your questions. The number to call with your questions this morning, 801-575-8255. That is KSL Talk. Or you can also direct message us on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Anton with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. That is KSL Talk. Let's go right to the phone lines. We have Paul, who is waiting. He's in Sandy. Good morning, Paul. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. This spring, I would like to power rake my lawn, aerate it, and apply a pre-emergent. when would be a good time to apply the pre-emergent, and I'm assuming that I would want to apply that as the last of those three steps, so the power raking doesn't disturb the effect of the pre-emergent.
So let's hold on for just a minute, and before we get to the pre-emergent, why are you power raking?
Have an awful lot of thatch.
Okay. And why do you suspect you have a lot of thatch?
Because I've dug pieces of my lawn up to look at it.
Okay. Well, I guess the bigger question is why is the thatch there? Because I think that the power raking is going to severely damage your lawn, and I would not recommend putting a pre-emergent down, because pre-emergents, how they stop seeds is they prevent rooting. And so if you did power rake, I would do that now, not really now, but in the spring, and then consider skipping the pre-emergent so that you could give your best lawn the best chance to reestablish.
Okay.
So what kind of, you said you're in, let's see, sandy.
Yeah.
So do you have the sandy soil underneath?
I do indeed.
Okay. Because the thatch layer, if it's a half inch or under, that's healthy for lawn.
And I've so got about an inch and a half to
inch
2 inches.
And a half. Okay. And so thatch, especially in sandy soil, is usually a result of overwatering, because the grass roots stay shallow to get enough oxygen. And so I'm not saying that's what it is necessarily, but we also need to look at your irrigation schedule. So how often are you watering?
I water every other day. I have a automatic... I have a sprinkler timer, but I have a thing on my roof where it takes and measures the sun, the heat, and the solar radiation and determines how long and how...
Okay. Okay. No, that's fine. And what I would actually recommend doing before you power rake your lawn, because that's just the USU's, we had a book of horticulture scripture, I guess, in the book of lawn care, power raking is the last thing you do before you start over. And so what I would recommend doing is aerating very heavily in the spring and fall for a couple of years, leave the plugs on, and then let them disintegrate back in and see if through aeration that you can maybe get rid of some of this thatch. And if it doesn't work, then you can power rake. But this, I'm just trying to save you some work and save your lawn a little bit. And if you're about to the point that you're just going to start over anyway, then go ahead and power rake.
Okay. When would be a good time to apply the pre-emergent? In April or March?
You would have to, because aeration would disturb the soil and it would break holes everywhere in the lawn and allow weeds to come up, what I'd recommend doing is aerating as soon as the grass is green in early April. And then after that is done, you can put the pre-emergent down in mid-April. And that's about as late as you want to do it.
Okay. Is one brand of a pre-emergent superior to another? Or are they
now, what weeds are you going after?
Just anything. Dandelion.
Because
basically anything.
Yeah. The pre-emergents are usually either really effective against grassy weeds that come up from seed or broad leaf. And so you can use a combination of, like, Bear, I think they, what do they call it? Power Force. Bear was bought out, but they're still in the blue bottles. They have one that's called Season Long Broadleaf Weed Control that has a very good pre-emergent for things like dandelions and spurge, but it's not very effective against grasses. And so you could double dose that with something like not preen, but we're going to go look at either Barricade or Pre-Em or some of these others, but any pre-emergent for crabgrass would be fine, and you can usually get a synergistic effect by applying both. But if you don't have a lot of weed problems in your lawn, then you probably actually don't need to put down a pre-emergent.
Okay, now is that Bear? Is that an application like through a hose end sprayer?
Hose end sprayer, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and we need to take a look at the lawn, because in a sandy soil, you should not have thatch like that. The thatch is usually a result of compacted and clay soil and too much water. Mm-hmm. And so as you may want to download some fact sheets from USU about lawn care and just kind of look through them a little bit and see. And I would start that aeration program before you do that power raking.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
Your help.
Paul, thank you for your call this morning. Anton, did the philosophy on power raking change at some point in time? Because it seems like when I was young, people used to power rake their lawns all the time.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of research that's gone into it. And what it does is that it tears up the crowns of your lawn quite badly. They will recover, but if you power rake every year, it can actually weaken the lawn. And so we recommend power raking if there's just so much thatch that nothing else will work, mm-hmm. or if you have a super bumpy lawn and there's nothing else that's going to solve it, you can set the power rake low enough to tear the tops off the bumps to make it a little more even. But if you have to power rake, then there's lawn management problems that you also need to take a look at, because in clay and compacted soil, you know, that aeration in the spring and maybe in the fall will oftentimes keep the thatch layer down if the lawn isn't overwatered.
There is a big difference, though, between power raking and actually raking your lawn in the spring just to get some of that dead lawn out of there, right? That doesn't hurt your lawn.
Well, the raking is less damaging, and the other difference is a heart attack.
What?
From trying to rake the thatch out of your lawn. Oh, man. You won't work.
Right. But it's not a problem to just rake an area, is it?
No, it's not. Okay. You know, but the question is do you need to?
Okay.
And
you're saying no.
No. And if you can just put a shovel into the lawn and wiggle it back and forth, and then take a look, and the thatch is going to be below where the green grass stops and the top of the soil. And if that layer of dead crowns and just like a few blades and things is about a half inch or so, mm-hmm. or less, then it's healthy and there's just no reason.
So you're actually doing harm just to rake it then?
You can. Hmm. And it's not as damaging as the power rake, but the question is, why are you doing it?
Yeah, the question is, why am I doing all that work if I don't need to?
Yeah, and so I would look for the thatch. And if you have like 3/4 of an inch or an inch, I would just maybe increase aeration a little bit and aerate spring and fall.
Okay. Our next listener, Brad, would like to know, he would like to plant horseradish. He wants to know what kind of soil it would need, what kind of location, and pretty much what it would take as far as care through the season and harvest.
Well, horseradish is kind of, as far as durability, is kind of like the cockroach of the plant world.
Oh.
And it's not, I'm not comparing it to that, but once you plant it, you never get rid of it.
Oh.
It's very hard and to get rid of, and so it's
like a weed.
It is. It's very aggressive. And so if you plant it, it's recommended you grow it where you can contain it. And a 3-inch barrier, like cement or metal edging, isn't going to do it.
How about putting it in a barrel or something?
A barrel would be great, okay. With some raised bed mix. And then that way, what you do is you just plant it about 4 weeks ahead of time, ahead of your last frost, and then let it grow. And you can put it in full sun or part shade, and then you harvest it in late summer or fall. If you let it go too long, the stems get really woody, and you can only harvest the new growth.
All right, we have about a minute before the bottom of the hour news, but he would also like to know about, he'd like to plant some peonies, and he wants to know full sun or partial, and when and how should he plant those?
Full sun, and you can either buy starts or you can buy a gallon, like, containers. I like the containers that are already started a little better. They're more expensive, mm-hmm. but they're a little more foolproof, but always full sun. If you put them in shade, they may not really bloom that well.
And no, it takes a while for them to bloom.
Yes, it can take up to 3 years.
Right, because I've planted them before thinking, oh, they're, you know, next year I'll have peonies. No, it took several years for mine to come up. And I guess that depends on the root. What do you call that? The root ball?
Yeah, the root mass you plant, or the corm. If you plant it too deep, it will never flower. And that's the other trick. So look up a fact sheet on planting peonies. I mean, you want that right at the soil surface or just barely covered so that it doesn't, if it goes too deep, it'll grow, but it prohibits flowering.
Yeah, and I just love them. They are so beautiful. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Our text page is down this morning, so you will need to direct message us on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page if you'd like to text a call or text a question. And we'll be right back following the news.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.